Welcome to the Casey Kowar Show, a celebration of words. I'm delighted to have as guests today Anthony LaPe and Dan Goldman. This is the first time we've discussed a graphic novel. We're going to be discussing Shooting War, which has just been published by Grand Central Publishing, and it's a book that I enjoyed tremendously. So first of all, gentlemen, congratulations on the book, and thanks for being on the show today.
Thank you very much. Thanks a lot.
Now, for those that are new to your work, if you would, let's set the scene just a little bit, Anthony. I watched a couple times a documentary, an award-winning documentary you did called Battleground, 21 Days on the Empire's Edge in 2004. And I strongly recommend that to listeners to view that video, because it seems to me that kind of set the table for this book in a certain way.
Yeah, in late 2003, just as the insurgency was beginning to gain strength, my partner Stephen Marshall and I from the Guerrilla News Network traveled basically all over the country in Iraq, shooting a film that would become Battleground, that would then air on Showtime. And, we saw pretty much, the beginnings, the rumblings of what would turn into a larger guerrilla war against the Americans. We saw people who actually were giving the Americans a lot of people who were giving Americans a chance to make it work, but the Americans were just so, I don't know how to put it any other way other than just completely clueless about what to do and what to do over there in terms of trying to make it all work. I came back, and I don't know if you remember this from the film, but there was a moment, I think we have it at the end of the film, where a lieutenant colonel, a guy named Nate Sassaman, who was actually the West Point quarterback who went into the Army, mm-hmm. Turned down an NFL career, said to us, "My life is a surreal movie. Every day I wake up and it's just completely surreal."
Yeah.
And that's the way I felt ever since I got back from Iraq. I was, this war is a terrible tragedy, but it really is, it borders on farce. And
it does.
I tried to capture that in a way, hopefully, that's respectful of the tragedy that's going on there, but also captures what to me is one of the most absurd foreign policy adventures of the modern era.
Mm-hmm. And the documentary is really kind of prescient. When you watch it, it's like as if you're watching it in real time. And it's when you think of the time when it was shot, everything that happened or that they were talking about might possibly happen actually happened. And it could have been shot in 2007 and not really had much of a different look.
Yeah, it's eerie. It's very eerie. There was a lot of things that the level of denial, for instance, on the Americans' part. I mean, remember, there's this one part where a colonel is actually in charge. We just got very lucky and got embedded with a colonel who's in charge of most of the Sunni triangle, said to us, "Oh, there's no insurgency here. There's no popular support for an insurgency. The only reason people are fighting us is because they're getting paid by some, outside force."
Mm-hmm.
The level of denial was just unbelievable about what was going on there.
Yeah, and the other thing too, Anthony, that I really liked is you really, there was a lot of strong emotion, with Frank that goes back and visits. Some of the scenes were very touching, and I think sometimes we view this war, and in Shooting War when I was reading it, it seems like it is almost a comic or a graphic novel, but there are real human emotions there, and there's real tragedy going on. And some of the scenes when the men meet each other are very, very powerful.
Yeah, well, thanks very much. I mean, the as I said, Shooting War is a satire. It's set in the year 2011, and our lead character is a young, kind of charismatic, thinks he knows it all blogger, who I'm sure we all know. A guy kind of like him, or read a guy like him online these days, who heads to Iraq after becoming a sort of overnight media superstar here in the U.S. after he happens to just film a a Starbucks get blown up by a suicide bomber.
Mm-hmm.
So he ends up in Iraq, and he really is emotionally ill-equipped to be a war correspondent. And that is sort of the central conflict of what this book is all about in a lot of ways, which is the reality of covering a war, especially a war like Iraq, which is literally the most dangerous war for journalists of the modern era. More journalists have been killed there and wounded than World War II and Vietnam put together.
Well, that's interesting.
It's really, and that's not even if you take into account all the Iraqi journalists who have been killed, the locals. So it's incredibly dangerous, emotionally just intense, very, 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 very hard place to be a journalist. So I tried to, you know, what this book in a lot of ways is about is a blogger, someone who spent most of his time on a couch, you know, thinking that he's got it all figured out, being put into this situation where he's, you know, he's really tested to the limits.
Mm-hmm. Now, Dan, your illustrations in Shooting War are incredible, and really, Grand Central did a great job with this book. The paper is sharp, the colors are awesome. How did you get involved in this project? And tell us a little bit about your background and some of the techniques you used in Shooting War, which are you've got to see them to believe them.
Thank you. My technique, let's see. I started working, I made the jump to digital, which means that I don't draw with pen or paper anymore, except for fun.
Mm-hmm.
So that means basically I started about 5 years ago working on a Wacom tablet, which is like a... So it's like a little, almost like a mouse pad with an electric pen, and you draw into the directly into Adobe Illustrator is what I use. And I was working on this technique for a while, and there's a fire outside my window.
Oh, jeez.
Just a little distracted. Let me go in the other room.
Okay.
Sorry about that.
That's all right.
So I've been working on this technique. I kind of isolated myself a little bit from the comic community on purpose and wound up pulling in a completely different set of influences. I like to think that my work is maybe a little more connected to magazine illustration and,
mm-hmm.
You know, kind of graphic illustration. And then I take coming from that point of view, then using the language of comics. So when I got involved with Shooting War, at that point, we were, Anthony and I were talking about what we wanted to accomplish with it, and the sense of this hyper real day after tomorrow just kept coming up, and I was playing with some ideas. I do another comic called Kelly on
mm-hmm.
On this website Activate that I helped found, which is a collective of webcomic cartoonists. We've got about 25 members, and we have these ongoing graphic novels. Every week, there's free comics for the whole world.
So
my comic Kelly is something where that was the first time that I was playing with bringing photography in and then combining it with digital painting and creating sort of a whole together. Shooting War has a completely different subject matter, so I got to bring in not only the experimentation I was doing with Kelly and advancing the digital processes that I've been playing with for about 5 years. But then on top of that, I was pushing myself to tell a particular type of story that I've never even tried to tell before. I've never drawn any war comics. And, normally my stuff is a little light on the action side. So it was very cool to from my studio in Brooklyn to go through Iraq,
mm-hmm.
using research and imagination. And visualize what was in Anthony's script. So that's cool. The other exciting thing was that I have a background in graphic design. So in addition to designing the book, I got to design all of the all the news feeds and the logos and every little bit that are those extra touches that makes the world so real. That was another. Another skill set that I got to plug into the whole thing, and I think that when all of these things come together, it creates, you know, a palpable work.
Mm-hmm. You know, and one thing with Shooting War, that there were times I laughed out loud. I mean, there are some funny parts in this book, and you know, the subject matter is so serious that you can overlook that. But some of the, I mean, you guys take a shot at just about everybody in this thing, and it was funny. So, Anthony, I wanted to ask you, you set Shooting War in the future, and how did you decide the year you were going to pick? You picked the president that was going to be in office at the time, and what was your thinking in terms of setting it in 2011?
Well, I really set it in 2011 as a sort of thought experiment. It was sort of close enough so that we could really be dealing with the issues of today, but not too far in the future where basically my imagination would be too stretched, mm-hmm. to be quite honest. I've been a journalist for 15 years, so I don't really have a kind of sci-fi mind. I'm not that creative, but I'm just a crazy news hound, and I've been a reporter who's traveled around a lot of different places for the last 15 years. So I really, to me, it was just a thought experiment of, okay, where are we headed soon? Where is this all going to take us?
Mm-hmm.
I picked McCain as president, not so much, obviously, because I was looking at the polls, but really more of as a literary device.
Mm-hmm.
Some of the decisions I made are sort of more metaphorical, and some are made actually were sort of real predictions, and a lot of them actually were eerily started to come true, which I'll tell you about in a second. But first about McCain. McCain to me is just a fascinating character, like Dan Rather, who's also a character in the book. They're just kind of these guys from the old guard who have lived, you know, really incredibly interesting lives, and I think you knew who to wear their emotions on their sleeves. So from a literary point of view, they just make fascinating characters. And you know, a lot of this book is about the new guard of the blogger universe colliding with the old guard. So to me, you can't get any older than John McCain or Dan Rather. So that's why I picked McCain. Also, him being a Vietnam veteran and having paid such a horrible price in Vietnam and then becoming president and being stuck in a quagmire still in 2011, not really being able to figure out how to get our last troops out of Iraq in the same way, you know, it took, 4 years after, or 5 years after 1968, when everyone knew the war was basically at a stalemate or that we had lost, to get our troops out. It was a sort of a similar idea there. So then there were other things that I wrote really almost kind of as jokes. Bill Maher had, for years has been making
Absolutely.
A joke, before Saddam was executed. Oh, we really need to bring back Saddam, right?
Mm-hmm.
And I've always thought that was really funny and actually kind of very, a good point. So one of the things I set up that McCain does is he realizes when he gets into office that we basically had armed the Shia majority in Iraq, who are tied to Iran. And the army and the police forces were totally infiltrated with them. So he launches a similar program to what we did in the beginning of the war, which was called the de-Baathification program. He launches a de-Shiification program to get the Shia out,
mm-hmm.
and then sort of reconstitutes the army, which with what he calls euphemistically secular nationalists, who really are just reconstituted Baathists. So that I wrote sort of as a joke, and then look what happened this summer. What is the surge, the premise for the strategy behind what's happening in the surge in the Anbar province, and that is basically teaming up with the former people who have been funding and fighting the Sunni insurgency to fight the so-called Al-Qaeda and foreign elements, and also most likely to help them quell the Shia militias. So I really wrote that as a joke, and then it sort of eerily came true, and it was kind of freaky.
Mm-hmm. And Dan, I sensed you had a lot of fun with Dan Rather and Jimmy Burns, and I loved the women in the in Shooting War as well. They have that classic kind of pinup look to them, which I really was attracted to.
Oh, thank you. Yeah, it was a lot of fun. It was great to be able to add details.
Yeah.
It was great to be able to add details like that, where, you know, and even the little touches, like, you know, every time that I would create a, you know, a computer screen, it was another opportunity to throw stuff in there as well. again, I think, you know, part of the beauty of Shooting War is I think that we really, you know, between Anthony and I, we really realized that whole future. And, you know, it was cool to have, you know, the flexibility to, you know, to kind of push and pull. And,
yeah.
And, you know, create it where, and I remember, like, in the first episode of Shooting War, you know, I killed Elton John, which I just thought it was really funny. I wasn't sure if Anthony was even going to like it, but, you know, it just made me laugh while I was putting the page together, and,
yeah.
And it's still in there. So
yeah.
There's a lot of little touches like that I think are really cool.
There are.
Yeah, I'm just bummed we didn't kill off Billy Joel.
When you guys were working on this, I mean, you push it to the edge. Did you have a fear that you could be wrong, you know, with some of these things, and that it would ring kind of flat? And you know, what was your thought process? You know, you really can't worry about that, but I would think it had to cross your mind in terms of the marketability.
You know, I actually had complete faith in what I was writing.
Yeah.
I did the only thing that worried me was history catching up to what we were writing.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that we would attack Iran, for instance, before the book came out,
mm-hmm.
or things like that. I didn't really, I mean, there wasn't ever really, unfortunately, a fear in my mind that the situation in Iraq was going to magically get better overnight and our book would be just sort of overly pessimistic.
Mm-hmm.
That did not really cross my mind too much, no.
When did this idea come to you, and how difficult was it to get publishers to get on board with it?
Well, the project actually originally began in my head as a screenplay, and I was out one night with a friend of mine named Jeff Newalt, who's a real comic aficionado and a PR consultant to guys like Paul Pope and other really cool comic guys. And literally, we were just at a bar drunk. I was telling him about the idea for the screenplay, and he said, "Man, that would make a great comic."
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, "What are you talking about, man? You know, I don't even read comics,
mm-hmm.
Let alone write them." And he goes, "No, let's do it." And so he gave me a whole spiel and convinced me to do it as a comic. And then, you know, we're stuck at 4 a.m. going, "All right, that's a, you know, crazy drunk idea. How the hell would I ever do it, get it made?"
Mm-hmm.
And he said, "Well, let's launch it as a web comic. I have a friend named Larry Smith who has a website called Smith Magazine at smithmag.net, and it's a website all about blogging and blogging culture, and he's really interested in doing a serialized webcomic." So we went to, so first actually I said, okay, that sounds like a great idea. First, let me, you know, I'm going to need to find an artist. So I like, if you need anything in this world, you know, the magic of Craigslist.
Mm-hmm.
I just put up a posting, and I went through a lot of great artists, but a lot of their art was very kind of conventional comic booky type stuff, and then magically Dan's email came through, and I think I called him, you know, 10 minutes later, and I saw his stuff online. He's been a very prolific webcomic creator for years, and it was exactly what I was looking for. He hadn't really developed. Though the style that he really developed in Shooting War is a sort of advance of what he had been doing previously. He had never really done anything like Shooting War, but he had was developing an incredible style using photorealism stuff and his own twisted drawings, which were just perfect. And I mean, we just clicked. He actually came to a screening of I did a kind of underground screening of Battleground in a really cool bar in Williamsburg, and which was great. I really appreciated him coming to see the film first, because that really formed, as you said, the sort of background to what I was trying to accomplish in Shooting War. So he saw the film, and you know, the rest is history, as I say.
That's great. Well, so what has, you guys are, I would view this as kind of a crossover book. I mean, you know, I grew up reading comics, and I've been aware of graphic novels, and but there was something about the timing of this and just the look and the quality of it that was really attractive. And are you finding that you're, that this is being marketed to a different audience than you would traditionally cater to?
Absolutely. And it, not only is it being marketed to a different audience, but it's finding a different audience.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's the magic.
Mm-hmm.
We were in Boston yesterday, and we did some local cable news there. And we met Chet Curtis, who's like an old school New England news anchor. And he was blown away, and he had no, when it landed in his lap, he'd never read a comic like that before. And he said it, you know, once he got over the initial, you know, what the hell is this thing?
Mm-hmm.
You know, he was completely blown away, and he had no idea that comics either did or could do that kind of, tell that kind of story. So
mm-hmm.
that's been really gratifying. You know, between having that experience and having a, you know, a very similar reaction, when we were in London the week before, and it's funny that you know, so many people are just saying the same thing.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they've never had comics take them to quite that place before.
Yeah.
And that's really the best thing that you can hope for, I think.
Well, you know,
yeah.
There's a tendency to want to jump in and devour it in one gulp. But you really have to pace yourself, because as I started reading, I said, no, this is something different. I mean, I want to really look at the drawings and the illustrations and enjoy this. And I found myself reading it much more slowly as I started reading than when I first started.
Yeah, that's a good compliment, actually. I'm like that with certain films or filmmakers, and with certain, you know, certain comics as well, that it's just, the work is of a, you know, it's on a level where it deserves 100% attention.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you don't want to have music on or even or anything. You just want to sit down and have some quiet time and be 100% with the work. So that's cool. Thank you.
You should really, yes, go on a 5-day fast when you read Shooting War.
Yeah, there you go. There you go.
Focus all of your energies.
Yeah, like that guy in Battleground that said he was going to participate in Ramadan.
Oh, my God. Yeah, that was a great moment of
yeah.
just, wow. You know, it's a funny story. Basically, for your listeners, Nate Sassaman, the lieutenant colonel, who Lieutenant Colonel John Crowley, or Crash, as he's known in Shooting War, is based upon, is we have a scene where he's trying to placate a group of local sheikhs who are pissed off because he'd been launched a raid in their village and had arrested a bunch of young men, killed some pets, and allegedly beat up some old ladies. And the sheikhs obviously are not pleased about that. And at the end of the, you know, they're kind of giving him crap and yelling at him. And at the end of the meeting, Sassaman goes, "All right, okay, all right, the meeting's over. Now, next month is Ramadan. I'm going to be fasting. I hope all of you will be, too."
Yeah.
And it was just like the most culturally, I'm not a super politically correct guy.
I think that's putting it mildly.
It was, it was one of the most culturally bizarre and insensitive, you know, sort of things of this guy coming into, you know, an occupying force, telling these guys how to, celebrate the most holy month in the Muslim calendar. And you know what the irony is? When we went back and looked at the tape, we had a translator, you know, working with us to get all the translations correct. And exactly what I had predicted, the translator, who was an Arab American woman, actually, did not translate that.
No. Yeah, she was stunned.
She was shaked.
Yeah.
She just said, "Okay, thanks, goodbye."
Yeah. Yeah.
Didn't translate that part to the sheikhs, which I think, you know, at least showed a little bit of savvy on the American military's part.
Exactly. Now, just out of curiosity, before I let you guys go, has there been any word from Iraq in terms of if people over there seen this book? Is it? And the other thing I'd like to ask is, when people go into the bookstore, where will they find Shooting War? Obviously, if you get it online, you know, that's obvious, but like, where are bookstores, where would you find Shooting War?
Right now, it's been in all the bookshops we've been to, you know, Barnes and Nobles and Borders and whatnot. It's been up on the front table, and I've heard from people around the country that it's on an, you know, I know, like, Austin Book People has an end cap with it, and, mm-hmm. and you know, they're displaying it pretty nicely. But if for some reason it's not over there, chances are it'll be shelved in the graphic novel section.
Mm-hmm.
And if there isn't one, then, you know, we can hope for a fiction.
Absolutely. Yeah, absolutely.
Do a sit-in and demand one.
There you go.
Thanks to a five-day fast.
There you go.
Have a Rocky seen it? I do not know if it's made its way to Iraq, though I do actually know some Iraqi exiles here in the U.S. In particular, a friend of mine, a journalist, actually married brought back an Iraqi woman and married her, and she loves it.
Great.
She totally loves it, which is a huge compliment, because she actually worked. She is in part actually an inspiration for the character Samira, who's a producer, translator, who forms actually sort of the moral compass of the book, an Iraqi woman.
Mm-hmm. Well, Anthony and Dan, I really appreciate your time today. We've been discussing Shooting War, published by Grand Central. And what's next for you guys? Are you going to continue working together?
Well, yeah, we're looking to do a sequel.
Mm-hmm.
Dan is busy on a next project, which he can tell you about real quick.
Mm-hmm.
You can also find out about our book tour at shootingwar.com. Dan, tell them about your
please.
Project. It's really cool.
I'm working right now, actually, on a book called 08. That is, I'm working with Michael Crowley, who's the senior editor of The New Republic, and we're doing basically a graphic novel flip book that is a nonfiction campaign trail memoir of the 2008 primaries.
Oh, interesting.
So you'll have, 80 pages of story of how the Republicans find their candidate and 80 pages of the Democrats, and both stories obviously will end in the middle as you flip the book over, and you will have both candidates facing each other.
Oh, cool.
The two that have been selected, and then it's time to vote. There's going to be an excerpt of 08 that will be published in the next issue of GQ. Is it like a two-page spread? So you get to see a little taste of it there. And if that goes well, we'll be able to continue throughout the year.
Nice.
Having little bits of it in GQ. But the book itself is going to be published. I think the street date is September 9th of 08.
Okay.
So it'll be out before the election, and it's going to be published by Crown Books.
Oh, congratulations.
Thank you.
Another good publisher.
Mm-hmm.
I would like to mention also, Anthony, your book, True Lies. I read that, and I enjoyed that very much as well. So what we'll do is on my homepage, I'll feature shootingwar.com and the other projects you have. And I just want to congratulate you guys. You really went out on a limb with this thing, and I'm just so happy that it's working out for you.
Oh, thank you very much.
Thanks so much. It's a great show.
Yeah, and I'll catch up with you when 08 comes out. How about that?
That sounds great.
Great. Okay, guys, take care.
Bye.